listening to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
And another great honor, privilege for me, is to introduce you to our super offering uptaker. If you have ever sat underneath any one of Henny's offering messages, you would have been encouraged to just give and give and continue to give. He's an amazing teacher of the word, and has been a faithful small group facilitator and zone coach for years. And unlike so many of us in this room, he is born and bred Johannesburg stock. He doesn't come from, he's not imported, he's homegrown, doesn't come from Western Cape or anywhere else. He's a homegrown boykie, so local is indeed very lekker. And I'm so encouraged by Henny's life. I'm encouraged by his joy that it just carries with him through good times and bad times, through seasons that come and go. And he's got this incredible capacity just to light up a room. And so Henny, it's a great privilege this morning to hand over the pulpit to you for the word the Lord has placed in your heart. So just come, I can pray for you. And Father, we thank you, God, for this man, Lord, that you've raised up. God, the man whose heart has been bonded, Father, to us as a church. Lord, so many years ago, Father, when you began to speak to him, so many years as a young boy, God, when you placed such a lot of dreams in his heart, Father. Lord, and he's been so faithful in just serving people and loving them, God, and encouraging them. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've placed in his heart, the word, Lord, that you've placed in his mouth. God, and we are so privileged, Lord, to receive this amazing gift from you. Thank you, Lord, that you've gone ahead through your Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts, Lord, to be fruitful soil, soft soil, God, to which your word can fall and just bring forth, Lord, a great and an awesome harvest, Lord. And so we thank you for your servant. We thank you, God, that we can receive him as an amazing gift from you. We pray your blessing upon him and his family, Lord, Renette and Stefan, Father. And we thank you, God, that you continue to take them from glory to glory, faith to faith, in Jesus' name. Let's put our hands together for this awesome gift. Thank the Lord for him.
So good morning, brothers and sisters. It's been a dream for me for so long to be able to do this. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Henny van der Merwe. And as Heinrich said, I'm born and bred Joburger from Boksburg. I'm currently working as a mechanical engineer, redesigning and manufacturing and installing furnaces all around the world. And this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about Moses. And the reason I want to talk to you about Moses is because I believe he was probably one of the best leaders and examples of leaders ever on earth. And the reason leadership is so important, well, not only to me, but I believe to every one of us, is that in some stage in your life or in some way, you are a leader. If it's not at work, then definitely in your personal life. As I found, my leadership position in my personal life changed about 6 months ago with the birth of my baby boy. Before that, I was just, you know, a husband and the leader of the house. And having such an amazing, submissive wife makes that task really easy. Makes it easy to make a decision. But then Stefan came along and changed the whole ball game. And the problem with changing the ball game is that I don't know which game we are playing currently, but I just keep racking up penalties. So yeah, every one of us have a stage in his life where he can or is a leader. And I believe we can learn so much from Moses. And yeah, let's just have a look at Moses. And Moses started out the same as you and me. Moses started out born in Egypt as a slave, and then he became a prince. Well, we didn't have that privileges. But then his human nature came through, and we can see from his life that he had a temper problem when he sorted those Egyptians out who, you know, sorted the Israelites out. And then he fled. He was scared. So he fled away into the wilderness, coming to the pit and see some beautiful damsels in distress and help them out, and so gaining a wife. And we see him ending up keeping flock for his father-in-law. And so I just want to read from Exodus 3 verse 1 to 4 quickly for you. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet was not consumed. And Moses says, 'I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.' And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, God called out of the bush to him and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.'" So we see here that when Moses saw this opportunity, he didn't walk past. He took time. He took time out of his day, walked aside, and go and see what this strange phenomena was all about. And because of that, he had an encounter with God. He had an encounter that day with the God of creation. And that changed his life forever. And the amazing thing is that God still extends that same invitation to us every day. Let's just read from James 4 verse 8. I'm just going to read you the first portion, and I'm sure most of you know this. It says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." So God still wants you today to, like Moses, He wants you to have an encounter with Him so that He can change your life forever. And instead of the burning bush today, we have the cross of Jesus. But it was 2,000 years ago, and God is standing at that cross, calling out to you, yearning for you to come draw aside and have that encounter with Him. Now, let's see what the Israelites did, because Moses obviously led the Israelites. So let's just see what they did when they had the same encounter. In Exodus 20, verse 18, it says, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. They stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die.' But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin.' The people stood far off while Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was." Now, if I read this portion, I believe that the Israelites basically came from Cape Town. And if you don't believe me, just wait for a thunderstorm to brew up and lightning to strike, and you see these Cape Townian guys run and hide out of fear for this lightning. Yeah, but so these Israelites stood there and said, "No, no, 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 no. We don't want to go into that thunder and lightning. We don't want to meet with God. Moses, you go, and then we will listen to what you have to say about that." And having that encounter with God actually takes you out of your comfort zone. It takes you to a place where you don't know what is going to happen, and it's unfamiliar to you. But they were afraid to go to actually draw closer to Him. And that was the difference between Moses and the rest of the Israelites. He decided to go into God's presence. And this is all fine and dandy. And the same thing still happens today. People come to church on Sundays and say, "Okay, pastor, leader, whoever, you go to God, and then we will sit here and listen to what you have to say, and that is enough for us." And that is all fine and dandy, and you can have that, and it will work until the tacky hits the tarmac. And like we see with the Israelites, that the moment stuff starts going south, the first thing they do is blame God. They said, "God, why did you lead us into the wilderness? Why did you call us out here into the desert so that we can die here?" And that's the difference. And it's very apparent in the Israelites' behavior that this was their way, their escape goat was always to blame God. And let's see this in Exodus 14, verse 11 to 12. You'll see the heading there is goldfish minded. The reason for that was these Israelites were just led out of Egypt. They saw the 10 most amazing miracles ever performed on earth. They walked out of slavery without picking up a sword into freedom. And the moment they came to the sea, they saw the sea before them. They turned around and they saw the Egyptians following them. And they said, oh God, is this why you lead us out there? Because there's no graves in Egypt. So let's just read Exodus 14, verse 11 to 12. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die into this wilderness. And the same thing happens today as well. People who come to church, and then the moment you lose your job, or someone steals your iPhone for the fifth time, or someone cuts in front of you, or bumps your car, or something goes wrong, and you stand there and say, God, why does bad things happen to good people? Why do you not like me? Why do you want me to go through the suffering? And God does not want you to go through the suffering. God said, like he said to Moses, he wants to test you. He wants to see what your character is all about. And he wants you to draw in with him, to have a relationship with him. A relationship that's built on trust and confidence in who he is. And not the promises he made you, but the maker of those promises. He wants you to have a relationship with that guy. Now, I just want to tell you a quick story about a guy that I used to go to school with. As I mentioned, I came from Boksburg, and I was in a technical school. And we were a lot of guys. We were about 700 guys and about 100 girls. So the ratio was a bit off. And there was this big guy. His name was Corne Klaassen, and he was a really big oak. Just to give you an indication, at that stage, I was a deputy head boy of the school, and me and Corneille had an agreement that he could do whatever he likes, whenever he likes, and on his part, he won't crush my skull. So that was the type of guy this was. And we weren't as privileged as the modern schools have, to when two guys have a disagreement, to go in a classroom and have a facilitator, and talk the stuff out, heart-to-heart stuff, and then afterwards walk away, shake hands, and everybody's home free again. No, we didn't have that. We had a discus net. But what made this discus net good was the fact that the front part could swivel, both of them, so you could close this thing up. And usually during second break, when two guys are having some sort of argument, or a disagreement, they would go in there, walk in nice and calmly, and the people would close the gates and lock it with a chain, and they will sort it out, and afterwards, one of them will walk out there, and he would obviously, he won the confrontation now. His way is now the best way. And Corneille, he was known as king of this ring. So this was a big guy. And I had the privilege actually playing rugby with this guy. And the most amazing thing about Corneille was he was a really loyal guy. So if you were one of his friends, no one would mess with you. No one will even come close to you. No one will look funny at you because he will sort them out. Now, playing rugby with a guy like this gives you the confidence to go up to a guy that's really big and say to him exactly what you think of him, and his rugby skills, and the way his mother cooks, and everything. You were allowed to say anything to this guy because you know that Corne Klaassen has your back, and that no one will touch you because of that. And the amazing thing was that David had that same relationship with God. And we can read that in Psalm 18, verse 29. It says, for by you I can run against a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. I love the Afrikaans version. The Afrikaans version says it so beautifully. It says, Met my God loop ek 'n bendestorm. You know, a group of thugs. I, by myself, will run against a group of thugs and strike them down because I know I don't have the ability, but God has the ability through me. And that's so amazing that David knew this. And that's why he could stand up to that giant. Because he knew he had someone bigger than Corneille Clausen behind him. So if anything should happen, you know, someone's got his back. And that's why he was so victorious. He won so many battles that he weren't allowed to build a temple because of the blood on his hands. And this was the relationship that David had with God. And how can we have that relationship with God, you ask me? Well, I'm glad you've asked me. It's really as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And it all starts with an encounter. And then it's up there. It all starts with having that encounter with God. And then when you have that encounter, learning to hear His voice clearly and discerning to what He's actually speaking to you about. And then going into action and responding to the Word. Doing the stuff that He told you. And through doing this, your relationship with God will grow stronger and stronger. And you will have that confidence in stepping out and saying, you know, God, you told me to do this, so I know I can do this because you have my back. So let's start with the encounter. Let's read Revelation 3, verse 20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if everyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Just note, it doesn't say there, "I stand at your heart's door and knock on Sunday mornings between 9 and 11. No, it says, "I'm knocking at your door," and He's knocking constantly. He's yearning, He's searching for you to open that door so that He can come in, have that encounter with you, and start building the relationship that He so longed for. And that is actually what we want. We want that encounter in our lives. And it's worthwhile noting that just the verse before that, verse 19, this was actually written to already believers. Verse 19 says, "The people I love, I will discipline." So these people that this message were written to were actually believers, people who already loved God. But they, in their hearts, thought that they don't need that encounter anymore. They don't need to have that encounter with God anymore because, you know, I know God. You know, I know God and, you know, I can go on my own. But the problem is there's fruit, bad fruit coming forth if you don't have that encounter on a regular basis. You become passive. You just sit there and you become relaxed in your own chair and familiar with your surroundings. And you don't want to do anything. You're starting to lack passion for people, for God's Word. For the people God loves and places on your heart, you start lacking passion for that. You are neither hot nor cold. You know, you go to church, but you don't want to pray for anybody, but you know God and you read a little bit. And that's all fruits that come from not having a regular encounter with God. And you start relying on yourself, saying, "I can do this." And you start relying on your own limited ability to try and do what God's words ask you to do. So having that encounter on a daily basis set us free from all this bad fruit so that we don't have to go through all of that. Okay, now that we have the encounter, let's learn how to hear His voice. There's a couple of ways that we can hear God's voice, and there's a couple of teachings on that. But today, I just want to stand still at 2 points. The first one is reading the Word of God, and the second one is intercession. Now, let's quickly turn to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. I've been practicing the whole morning to say Deuteronomy without struggling. So let's read Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And it says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord." Now, if you want to live by bread, it doesn't help you just to look at the bread or to shake it around, or to smell the bread, or to stamp on the bread. The only way that you can live by bread is by physically putting it into your body. And the same thing goes with the Word of God. It doesn't help you. There's so much more than reading the Word of God and really seeing what He has for you in that Word than just sitting there, slapping open the Bible, reading two or three verses, closing it and going to sleep. There's so much more. And there's a simple way that I want to, teach you this morning to actually get into the Word of God and really connecting with God. And I call it the pirate way because it are very simple. Okay, as you see, R stands for ask, read, reflect, and respond. So, you'll never forget this again. R. So, ask. Before you start reading the Bible, ask God to come and meet with you. To come and have that encounter with you that you so long for and that He so long for. You know, sit down, calm yourself, and ask God to show you what He wants to show you out of His Word. Because sometimes we read the Bible and we have this preset mind on what God actually wants to tell us. And we sometimes miss the point. But God says, no, I have a word for you. And asking Him to reveal that word to you is the first step in actually getting to know what that is all about. And then reading the word. Take some time and read an entire passage. Make sure that you understand what that passage is all about. Do you understand the context that this passage is written in? And if possible, the author of that passage. And then after you've read, and don't just close the Bible, put it away, and then go on with your daily work or go to sleep or whatever. Take some time and reflect on what you've just read. Ask yourself, how does this, what I've just read, apply in my life? How does this affect me and how can I put it into use in my life? And this is where journaling actually comes in quite handy. If you sit down and start writing down everything that God told you, it's so much easier to go back and see, okay, God told me to do this. He promised this. Oh, look, this happened. And then by doing that, you also gain confidence in God's word, saying that God promised you a new car and you got a new car. Or He promised you an increase and you got that increase. Or He told you to do something and your life is, there's something not lacking and you're struggling to connect with God. And you go back and say, oh, but I haven't done this yet. So journaling is quite important if you want to really get the word inside of your body. And then the last part of it is to respond. Because James 1:22 says, don't be hearers only of the word, but be doers. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself. So, speak to God about what's on your heart and be open with Him. Tell Him exactly what's on your heart. Don't try to bluff God by saying, oh God, I'm so wonderful. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Actually, inside your heart, you are really struggling with something. Bring that struggle before God. And more often than not, this passage you just read is pertaining or can help you get over that struggle or be set free from that struggle or just give you a word of encouragement in order to just pull through of that struggle. And then when you starting to respond to this, you apply that to your own life. Ask yourself, how can I apply what I've read? How can I apply that in my own life? And after you start applying that in your own life, you have the freedom to go and tell others, you know, I've read this and you know, I've applied this in my life, and this is what happened. Look at the fruit that came out of what I've read. And that's so amazing. So, you see, this are really simple just to get the word inside of you. Okay. Now, the second thing I want to talk to you about is intercession. Now, we didn't always have a Bible handy if you are at work or slap open a cell phone and quickly go to YouVersion and read something pertaining to a specific situation. Sometimes we need to rely on God's word and our ability to hear God's word. And that's the reason why Jesus ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to us. So that we have that helper every day in every situation so that you can know what to do. And in personal experience, I know that something like that a sheep wanting to learn what his shepherd is talking about just have to see what the other sheep are doing when he hears something. So the same thing goes for intercession. If you go to intercession and you sit there and you pray and you receive a vision and you don't know whether this vision is from God, more often than not, someone else will see a vision quite similar to what you've seen, or a scripture, exactly the same scripture that was placed on your heart. And by doing that, you gain confidence in knowing that when I hear this and when it sounds like this and when I feel like this, this is actually God speaking through you. So I want to encourage you all today that don't miss intercession. Intercession is such an amazing tool to getting to know not only the Word of God, but God's hearts for the people and God's heart for the situation and the way forward and what's going on in our community and in our relationships with each other and with other churches. God really speaks through intercession. And going there teaches you to understand and to start learning what that shepherd's voice sounds like. And it gives you the confidence to, when you are in church and when we are worshiping and you receive that vision, to come forward and stand here in front and say, I have seen this, or give a prophecy of something that you've seen, or a word of knowledge, or just a scripture, because you stepping out in obedience like that actually blesses someone else sitting there needing to hear that word. God uses that visions and that words that he sent you to communicate what's on his heart to the people. Okay, so that's intercession. So now that we know what God's voice sounds like, let's look at some spiritual gifts we can use to put that into action. Because that's the way that we actually put into action what we hear from God. He doesn't just tell us, okay, you need to do this. He sends us gifts in order to help us facilitate do what he asks us to do. And in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4:11, I'm not going to read the entire scripture. It's quite lengthy. But there it mentions a couple of spiritual gifts. And it urges us to start using those gifts in our community and in relationships in order to build up God's church and his kingdom. So a couple of those gifts that I've read there, I've just highlighted a couple of them, is the gift of prophecy, the gift of service, of teaching, of exhortation, the gift of contribution, the gift of leadership, and acts of mercy. Now, every one of us have been given different gifts. We don't have all the same gifts. Not all of us can speak a word of knowledge. Not all of us have visions. Not all of us are able to be as great servers as some of the others are. But that's okay, because the way that you learn to know what your gift is normally something that you are already good at. Something that you have a longing in your heart to do is probably the gift that God has given you to use. Now in verse 11, right at the end there, it says, the Spirit apportions gifts as he wills. Now what this means is, yes, you are strong in specific reasons. Yes, you are a good teacher. Yes, you can prophesy. But sometime God needs you to do something else. God needs you to do something that is not in your comfort zone. And you need to be able to take that gift, take it up and say, God, I know that's a gift that you've given me for this situation, and walk with it. Now, the best way that I can explain to you how to walk in the gifts is by quite a nice analogy. And the analogy goes about Avatar. Who of you have seen the movie Avatar yet? It's probably one of the biggest paid movies of the last decade. Now, what happens was, in Avatar, is Sully, the main character, he had a disability. He was in an accident and he lost control of all his legs. And he had the opportunity to get plugged into this system and how it worked and transformed into an avatar body. Now, how this works was, he got plugged into the system and then his conscience was transferred from his human body into the avatar body. And the moment he realized, he woke up and everything is different around him. You know, he's much taller than he used to be. And when he realized he had feeling in his feet again, he immediately got up and he was so excited. You know, he was unsure of himself at first. He was falling around and breaking this, and he had a tail and he was whacking all the stuff all over the show. But as soon as he found out and he got to know that, you know, I have firm planted on my feet now, that man set off running. And he ran and ran, and no one could have stopped him. And it was so amazing that to experience the freedom that guy had, that he was so bounded in his human body, and now he had this freedom just to run. And afterwards, he entered some training, and they taught him, you know, this is how to function in this, and this is how your body works. And they taught him how to control that new body that he was in. And the same thing, and the way he learned was actually by sitting and watching other people do medial works and replicating that until he got it right. Now, the same thing happens to us if we go into, or we walk into our spiritual gifts. At first, you need to get plugged into God. You need to have that encounter in order to get the spiritual gifts that God wants to send you. And then once you've realized, like Sally did, once you realized, man, this is amazing. You know, I feel so different. I feel so much taller. I have use of my legs. I have freedom. You just set off running. And you just want to prophesy over people. And you just want to spread word of knowledge. And you just want to recruit people for the word of God. And sometimes that does more harm than good. So what happens is, when you get plugged into God and when you receive those spiritual gifts, there is some programs that's set into place to teach you how to use those gifts, to teach you how to hear God's voice, and then how to put that gift into action. And then as soon as you get this and you start running with this and you see the amazing fruits, but by releasing people, and when you, and I think that's probably the most amazing thing to see, is when you use that gift and you pray for someone and you see that person got set free and he's starting to run in this spiritual gift. That's the most amazing feeling. And I think any one of you can agree who have experienced something like that, is it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. So your gift is usually something that you are good at, as I mentioned beforehand. But sometimes God asks you to do something that you are not good at. So let's just read 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" He says his power is made perfect in our weakness. So he wants to use us in our weakness to show how big he is. If someone knows you're a good speaker and you come up front and you talk about the word of God, it doesn't make such a big impact as someone that's not maybe a little bit, I don't know, teruggetrokke, or someone that's not a good speaker to come up front and to tell people, you know, the testimony that God did in his life. That has such an amazing impact because you know the history of that guy. You know, this is not his strength, but you can see God's strength through him. And that actually amplifies the fruit of that message. So this is why we need to hear God's voice. And this is why hearing God's voice helps you to know what you need to do and to walk in a confidence that you are hearing from God. And then when you start to doing what he says, he's got your back, Jack. And by doing this and by starting walking into the spiritual gifts and so on, the world will start liking you less and less. The Bible actually says the world will start hating you. And it's not the world only. It's mainly the devil starting to hate you because he knows what a threat you are to his kingdom. So in 1 Peter 4 verse 3, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Peter describes about how the world will react when they see you acting differently to what you used to do or to what they expect you to do. And he says the world will cast you aside and the world will hate you for this. And going back to Avatar, this exact same thing happened to Sully. You know, the general that was in charge of the whole mission, he sent Sully out as a spy for him into these people's lives. And Sully came back and he gave him strategy and he showed them where the gold or whatever are they were looking for. And as long as Sully was feeding him with information and doing exactly what he wanted him to do, he was happy with him. And he was glad. And they made jokes together and they eat together and everything. But the moment Sully's heart changed because he realized that the motives of this general is to destroy the entire place and to take everything for himself. The general's motive was for self-enrichment. The moment Sully realized this, he said, no, I'm not going to do this. And he started withholding information from him. And after that, their relationship between the general and Sully went so far south that at the end, the general actually tried to kill Sully. So the more we continue to walk in our spiritual, you know, gifts, the world will hate you more and more. And John 15, verse 18 says the exact same thing. It says there that Jesus says, the world hated me. Why not will the world hate you? You know, so who are we that the world hated Jesus, but they won't hate us? You know, we long to be like Jesus. So the world will act exactly the same way towards us as he did to Jesus. Yeah, and so the more we walk in this and our relationship grow with God and we realize that, you know, through him we are capable of doing so much more. We have so much more confidence in walking up to people and talking to them and doing exactly what God wants us to do. The more we start doing that, the closer we go, the closer our relationship with God grows. And the more confidence, it's the whole snowball effect. You know, the more you do it, the more you see the fruit, the more you want to do it. The more you do it, the more you want to do it. And it keeps getting better and better. And again, going back to Avatar, the moment that Sully's body died, that man experienced for the first time true freedom when he was in his Avatar body. Now, God don't want us to leave our bodies behind and go search for an Avatar body. God wants to use our bodies as we are. He wants us to allow his grace to flow through us, to flow through our weakness, so that his purpose can have such an amazing impact in the world around us. So if we no longer care about our own agendas, but we only focus on God's agenda, we will be able to fly dragons. We will be able to climb mountains that we never thought was possible before we came into walking in the Spirit and, you know, doing what God wants us to do. Okay, so let's go back to Moses again. Exodus 13 verse 21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and night. So once we are here, once we are in that relationship with God, once we experience everything he has for us and we start living life in a full, God made it so easy for us to follow him. He says, like the Israelite, he will lead us in a pillar of cloud and by day so that we can walk in his shadow. And he will lead us in a pillar of fire by night so that we can have warmth. He doesn't leave you a trail of breadcrumbs like Hansel and Gretel. He leads you openly and it makes it so easy for you to actually follow God that it's mind-boggling. And the stage, I just want the band to come up, please. And so people, the journey going from having that encounter, you know, learning God's voice, learning how to respond with God and growing in a relationship with him, growing your relationship more and more, is going to be difficult. You know, the world is going to hate you. Your friends is going to reject you. Your parents might reject you. You might be fired from your work because of your religious or your relationship with God. You know, and the word says, whatever this life may cost you, whatever it costs you following me, I will give you abundantly more than you have lost. And it's such an amazing, Christelle Maybach was here a couple of weeks ago, and she said something that really struck me. She said, having life in abundance does not mean having lots of money. It means having laughter in abundance. It means having joy in abundance. It means having money in abundance. It means having happiness in abundance. It means having tear in abundance. It means experiencing life in every aspect to the utmost that you can. And that is what God wants for you. He wants for you to experience life the way He planned it. He wants you to walk in that ability and in that confidence with Him so that you can see what it is to have abundance. And that's the amazing thing. So the journey will be difficult. The journey will be tough. But the end result, at the end of the day, when you come and said, okay, I have done this. I have a relationship with God. And you walk in that spirit and you see the fruits of that. That would be epic. If you can stand at the end saying that I have gone through all of this and I know what's going on, that is epic. And growing with that relationship with God is not the end. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning where we know what God is all about, when we know what God's heart is all about. And today still, the cross is still there, 2,000 years, and the cross is still there. And God is standing at that cross, and He's crying out to you. He said, my son, my daughter, draw aside, come closer that I might have this relationship that I so long for with you. I want to release you into the person that I created you to be. I want to release you to be the man and woman that I've called you to be. So brothers and sisters, if you are satisfied with living in mediocrity, be my guest. But God has called you to do so much more. God called you so that you can change the world like Moses did. If Moses didn't at that day, and it was a normal day like any other day, nothing special about the day, he was walking with his father-in-law's flock in the bush, hoping that there will be something to eat in the wilderness for this flock, which is his father-in-law's and he needs to keep. You know, it was exact the same day, and he had the exact same problems that he faced every other day. You know, there's wolves that want to eat your sheep. And there's so many obstacles in your way every day. But if Moses didn't take the time to draw aside and really make an effort to come to know God, that wouldn't have happened. His whole life wouldn't have changed. He would have gone back and, you know, he would have gone back home and he would still, you know, father the flock, and he will still be able to be a good son-in-law for his father and a good husband for his wife. But that's not what God called him to do. God called him so that he can change the lives of the Israelites. He created Moses so that they can become out of Egypt. So Moses didn't just change the lives of the Israelites. He changed the lives of the Egyptians as well. And in doing that, washing away all the fighting power of the Egyptians, you know, by washing all that away, it changed the way the whole world saw the Israelites. And if Moses didn't take the time to go to that burning bush and say, God, here I am, none of that would have happened. Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, this morning I want you to draw aside. And if you could just, please all just stand up. It's so amazing to know that the creator of the universe, you know, the one that created everything, the one who puts everything in place, that dictated how the earth would spin, and all the different galaxies, he created all that. And this morning, he's longing to have an encounter with you. And He wants you to put aside whatever is on your mind right now. Put aside that struggle that you're going through, that boss that keeps on yelling on you, and you know you're not going to make this deadline, but still He keeps on shouting at you. Put away all of that. Because God created you to be so much more. He wants you to probably go out and change that man's life by looking in kindness. But He wants that. He wants that amazing relationship with you where you can walk in confidence, going out knowing that God has my back and nothing can stand against me. I can run against a group of thugs and nothing will happen because my God told me to do that. I can jump over a wall. I can climb a mountain. And only because God is that. So if you close your eyes today, I really feel there's a couple of guys here that you know God is calling you. You can feel it. There's butterflies in your tummy. Your heart starts pounding. And it's God. God is here today to have that encounter with you. God is calling you out of that burning bush. He's standing under the cross of Jesus saying, come. I have so much more for you. There's so much more. I didn't create you to be a mediocre person. So if that's you this morning, and you feel God wants to have an encounter with you, I'd ask you just to raise your right hand right now. Thank you, guys. If you raise your hand, you could just lower it again. I also feel there's someone here that there's something standing between you and that encounter with God, and it's unforgiveness. Unforgiveness toward a family member that might have hurt you in the past, that you just cannot forgive. Maybe your boss that you feel is, you know, he's treating you unfairly. You cannot forgive him for that. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. For they did not know what they're doing. And if Jesus can forgive someone who killed him for no reason, who lashed him, who put a crown of thorns on his head for no reason, if He could find it in His heart to forgive them, you can find it in your heart to forgive that person. Because God wants you to be free from that. Having unforgiveness in your heart is like having a ball and chain dragging behind you. You cannot be free if you have unforgiveness in your heart. God wants to set you free from that unforgiveness. See, if you have that unforgiveness in your heart right now, which you want to give up, you want to cut off that ball and chain, just raise your hand. Then there's a second group of people here this morning that had that encounter with God, that know what it is to meet God face to face, but they've grown cold. You know, you met God, but you haven't been plugged in so that you can start walking in the spiritual gift that He gave you. God is here to connect with you. God is here to say, come, plug into me. I will download those gifts to you. I will give you an impartation of those gifts and you will go out and you will be the person that I've called you to be. And you will be the man and the woman that I planned before you were born. I had this vision of you. I want you to be that. God wants you to come and just come plug in again. Maybe someone came and knipped off your cable. You know, maybe someone came and removed that plug. Something happened and that plug was removed. But God's saying, come, here's a new cable. every day is a new cable for you. Come plug into me. Because what I have for you is so intense. It's so amazing. So if you want to just reconnect and get re-plugged into God this morning, I just want you to raise your hand as well. That is you. Just raise your hand. Thank you, God. If you raise your hand, you can lower it again. And then there's a third group of people that I know that you know you can hear God's voice. You know you can hear God's voice. You had that encounter. You can hear His voice. You have been walking in that spiritual gift that He's given you. But He told you to do something, and the cost, you are so afraid that the cost is going to be more than you are be able to bear. He asks you to do something, and you know it's going to have repercussions in this world. You know it's going to cost you something. It might cost you money. It might cost you a relationship. It might cost you whatever it might cost you. God says, don't matter the cost. What I have for you is so much more than what this cost can be. It's so much more than a relationship or having a positive bank balance. It's so much more than just struggling every day trying to keep your head above the water. There's so much more. God says, like Moses said to the Israelites, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what I've asked you to do, because I know this is for your good. And you might not be able to see this right now. And you might not be able to see what is inside that cloud of fire and lightning. But He knows. And He wants you there. Because that is where He has called you to be. And that is where He wants to use you and where He wants to set you free. So if that is you, I'm also going to ask you just to raise your hand now. Thank you, God. Okay, there's three groups of people I've called out that I've asked to raise their hand. And I'm going to ask you now to do something. Not just raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to draw aside. I'm going to ask you to come to the front so that we can pray for you. So that God can be here and He wants to connect with you. So the first group of people, the people who needs that a first encounter with God. If you can just come to the front here on my left-hand side, your right-hand side. If you could just come forward and just stand here. And then the second group of people who had an encounter but needs to get re-plugged into God. I ask you just to come to the front here. Just stand here in front of the podium. And then the third group of people who know God is calling them to do something, but are too afraid of what it's going to cost them. Can you just come here to my right-hand side, your left-hand side, and we'd just love to pray for you. And if you've raised your hand for more than one of these groups of people, just tell the facilitator. I'm going to ask all the small group facilitators and zone coaches, if you're here, just to come pray for these people. Just tell them what you want. Tell them what God laid in your heart. Like God said, when you respond, ask Him. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what you've been struggling with. Tell Him what you want. Tell him your deepest desires. God wants to hear that because He wants to give it to you. He wants to set you free. If you want to be set free today and you walk out here and you are not free, it's going to be for your own loss. Because you can start today living the life that God wants you to live. You can start living today the way that Moses lived, changing the whole world. Changing the whole world, not by your own power, but allowing God's grace to work through you so that you can be the person He set you to be. Yes, I'm just going to ask the small group facilitators and zone coaches if you just can come and just pray for these people. And for the people still remain standing, just ask that you will just stretch out your hand. just pray for these people that they might have an encounter that they're longing for. That they might have an encounter that God wants with them. That it will change them. That it will be something that's just a once-off. But it's really something that gets grounded inside of them. Becomes such a part of them. Thank you.
Just while we minister. While we're ministering to the people at the front, you know, it's amazing scripture in a word that says that the Lord surrounds us with songs of deliverance. He surrounds His people with songs of deliverance. Jesus also says that when one soul comes to Him, when one soul turns aside, when one soul responds, it's a celebration in heaven. I believe the Lord is wanting to give so many of us an opportunity to partner with Him by singing the song of deliverance over the people that's being ministered to. So I want us to really join in the song in faith. If you have a great desire to just fellowship, then I want to encourage you to fellowship outside. You do that. But let's join, just join the angels. Let's join the celebration in heaven. Let's really just sing over our brothers and our sisters responding this morning. There's amazing grace over them. Amen. There's amazing grace that is setting free. There's amazing grace that is bringing hope. There's amazing grace that's bringing joy. It's amazing grace that's bringing healing. So let's lift up our voices and let's join with heaven in rejoicing, singing songs of deliverance. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank You this morning for Your faithfulness, God, in just extending the invitation to us. We thank You, Lord, it's an everlasting invitation. We thank You that our life with You, Lord, is not dependent upon principles, God, or just our willpower, but it's encounter-based, God. It's based upon this living, vibrant, active relationship that we can have with You. And we thank You for reminding us of that again this morning. God, I thank You, Lord, that even in this room, Father, there are Moseses. You're going to reveal to them the staff in their hands. You're going to reveal to them what it is that You have already given them, God. God, we come against the spirit of fear wanting to just keep us, God, from stepping out in faith. Walking, Lord, and leading Your people. Walking, God, and being the men and the women that You have called us to be. So thank You that Your word comes to us as it came to Moses, as it came to Mary, as it came to Your people right throughout the ages. That You are saying to us, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Because You have found great favor in the sight of Your God. We thank You, Lord, that Your favor is greater than our failures. It is greater than our mistakes. It is greater than our sin. It is greater than our fallenness. You have come, Jesus, to shine upon us, to lift us up. We thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You that Your word will have its way, will not return unto You void, but will bring forth Your purpose and Your plan, Your destiny in our lives. In Jesus' name, I believe there's still a few of us we need to respond. I just want to say to you, come and I'd love to minister with you if you need some more prayer. Just want to connect with God. Maybe you want to say to us, get out of my way. I'm not here to talk to you. I'm here to talk to God. Then come and do that as well. So the band is just going to continue to minister and just play. If you need to go, the Lord bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. If you want a fellowship, please don't rush off. We're going to care at the back. Just have an amazing time together. Okay, if there's still something in your heart that you feel you need to respond to, please come forward. Really just respond to this very word in season that the Lord has given us. Amen. And it are amazing to be in His presence with you. And it are amazing to worship the Lord together with all of you. God bless you. Have an incredible time. We love you and we thank you so much for coming.